You're listening to an OTB AM podcast. You can watch the show or listen live every weekday morning from 7:45 AM. Subscribe to the OTB AM podcast stream for more stuff just like this.
For the time being, we are talking about the Super 8s. It is a final round this weekend. A couple of crackers in store, particularly in Ballybuffet, Mossy. That is probably the game of the weekend. And as we were just saying there in the paper section, it's a very, very hard one to call.
It is very hard to call, and it is the game of the weekend. There's no doubt, like, the nature of the winner takes all. And I'm presuming this is when the GAA came up with this structure, with these type of games in mind. You're going to provincial venue, you're going for such a big game, and it's something I'm really looking forward to, and I think it's set up nicely for the weekend.
So when it comes to a couple of injuries for Tyrone, obviously most of their full back line now seems to be gone. McNamee is a big doubt. McCarron is definitely gone for the season. On the flip side then, it looks like Lee Brennan's going to be back.
Yeah, it does. And again, I think going forward, it's just interesting for me. It's not so much the personnel that Tyrone have. It seems to be the manner in which they, like, it seems at the moment it's going to be Richard Donnelly's going to play full forward in every game, and it's either Conor McCallisky or Ronan O'Neill. They kind of seem to, one or the other seems to play. They either come on for each other, and McCallisky has been the guy starting and he's been playing well. But I'd be interested to see if they're a little bit more adventurous, and can you play two of them? And will possibly now Lee Brennan comes back into that equation. Is he now one of three, or can you play a couple of them up there, and can you kind of go after it a little bit more? And I was up in Ome. It was a brilliant occasion when Dublin were up in Ome, and it was a really, really good game, which I kind of felt like I was obviously there from a Dublin perspective, obviously hoping Dublin were going to win, and they produced a performance. But from I expected Tyrone possibly to go after him a little bit more, particularly going into the last 15-20 minutes. And when you brought Ronan O'Neill on, but he came on from McCallisky, rather than making maybe a bit more of an aggressive change. And that's why with Lee Brennan coming back in, does he have more trust in that? Can he play in a kind of a, can he play two or three of them up at the same time? And I think that's the thing for Mickey Hart this year. I think for me, it's been a bit surprisingly kind of, I suppose, refrained in terms of his attacking from going last year. They have their set system, they seem to play to the system, and it's slowly evolving. But there is times in games where you'd say, well, look, could they really go after a team here? And I know they've put up big scores against different teams, but in tight games when they need to go and score, can he go and change that? Is there a different model that they can go with?
Yeah, what would be that different model?
Well, I think when you look at, and again, you look at, I would have played against a lot of Tyrone teams in the 2000s, and that was one of the best teams ever. And you might argue that he had a different skill set of players and different, but they had so much adaptability. They could play different ways. Like in terms of, we played them in a quarter final, and we were five or six up at half time, and they came out, they made up to eight changes in terms of between, they made three or four substitutions, and they made a number of positional changes.
So, is this in the championship?
Yeah, in the quarter final in 2005, we were 110 to 8 points up at half time.
Yeah.
And our message at half time was, you know, keep doing the same, you're playing well, keep performing. And that's all well and good if what you're playing against stays the same. But when we reviewed it after, there was up to eight changes in that Tyrone team. And the second half, we only scored 4 points. So we went from scoring 110 to scoring 4 points in the second half. And two of those were in the last 2 or 3 minutes of the game. And I remember looking at the time going, we weren't set up as a Dublin team at the time to make that many changes and to have that flexibility, and that was one of the massive attributes that Tyrone team had. But Mickey Hart was the coach behind that, he was the mastermind behind that, so he was obviously willing to say, well, look, it's not working for us here, let's take a risk. Whereas you flip that to last year's All-Ireland semi-final with when they were losing to Dublin, and you know, everyone in the ground at half time was saying, well, Tyrone will have to come out and do something different, and they didn't.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the one going into this year, have they really, really changed? You know, again, even against Dublin, Dublin were comfortable enough. It was 7-5 at half time, and okay, it was probably a pace of the game was slightly slower. Dublin are used to it. It was more physical. It was tough football. But in terms of Dublin, felt like they were in control for most of it. I don't think Tyrone got Dublin out of their comfort zone at any stage, and that's why you'd kind of look at these Tyrone teams now, and I'd wonder. And again, maybe it goes back to the personnel and he's playing with what in he has. But sometimes you kind of, I'd certainly look at it and see, well, is there a chance to maybe try and that's what I mean. Play? Can you play O'Neill, McCallisky, Brennan? I'm not saying all three. And go into the same full forward line, but again, can you mix it up a little bit? It seems to be, well, if it's not him, it's him, so all you're doing is replacing one person for the other, but it's in the same system. So again, can you push more guys on? Can you play more traditional, like you look what Brian McGuigan used to do for him as a playmaking centre forward? You know, you could argue Petey Hart has that skill set, but he spends so much of his game coming up and down the pitch. Now maybe he's more of a runner than Brian McGuigan, and again, you're not comparing like for like, but could you play someone in that kind of playmaker role? And
yeah,
again, there's different challenges teams will set out to change that. You know, very few teams are going to let someone just dictate the style of play, but if something Tyrone haven't tried in a while and you introduce it, might take a team a while to have to realise what's going on here. Well, he's not playing a traditional role, and again, it's just that something different that you haven't shown the opposition up until now.
Yeah, just a pivot for a moment there, just because you did mention the game in Omagh, and it makes sense to talk about it now. The fact that Dublin were happy enough with where they were at, and Tyrone, maybe, if you're cynical, were happy enough to kind of save a little bit of face and not get hammered this year by Dublin, that might not be the truth. They're, like, you could see that they were going after the win, certainly at different times of the game. But when you get into this idea of Dublin passing the ball around and holding on to the lead that they have, personally, I think if you don't have a player like Dermot Connolly or Bernard Brogan from last year, you've got to adapt. Like, it's two of the greatest forwards we've seen this decade. So you're going to have to adapt to a certain extent. Other teams have got to chase them. Other teams have got to figure out how to stop that. And if Donegal or Tyrone are going to make it to an All-Ireland final, it's going to be against Dublin again. And chances are they will face Dublin with a couple of points up later on in the game, and they'll do the exact same thing. So how do you stop that? How do you... Jim McGuinness says you keep 10 men behind the ball and you let four men or five men go and chase the ball at all times.
I don't know if that's enough, to be honest with you. I suppose the easiest way to stop it is not get yourself into that situation, is to try and be as aggressive as you can throughout. And it's the same with any team holding possession at the end of a game. Kerry did it to us again very, very well in a couple of games in the late 2000s, where they just held possession. What they're trying to do is draw you out, and then and Dublin did that. They kicked the score on the last play of the game, and up in Omagh. But someone said to me at half time, there's a Tyrone man standing behind me at the game up in Omagh, and at half time he says, "Oh no, this is going well. The game's been played on Tyrone's terms." And I was trying to work out, going, I didn't believe that to be the case. Like, Dublin were 7-5 up at half time, and it took a couple of really good long range scores from Tyrone. I think the cornerback McKernan kicked a brilliant score coming up to half time, did another one from distance as well. And you were kind of wondering, going, well, if it's been played on Tyrone's terms and Dublin are still 2 up, what way is the outcome going to go? And that's the way that the second half kind of went the same way. So, and Dublin are at a level now where they can play different styles. They can say, well, if you're going to get 15 men, we'll be patient, we'll go across and back. And you saw it against Donegal at the end. If Donegal push 4 or 5 guys up, well, what if Dublin have 6 or 7 or 8 guys back in that half of the pitch? 6 or 7 guys, you see it in soccer all the time. If you're centre forward chasing between the three in the back four, they're just going to pass around, and good teams will be able to do that. So you could have 4 guys working really, really hard, but they might have a bit of an element of a headless chicken running around, where they're kind of just trying to split space and trying to cut off. But again, when you've guys like Kieran Kilkenny, who's so comfortable on the ball, Brian Fenton, Keno Sullivan, these type of footballers, who are, not only are they very good footballers, but in terms of their game intelligence, where guys are going, where they need to put the ball, and the spacing of the Dublin team as well, the width they keep within the pitch. You know, if you've Jack McCaffrey hanging out in the touchline, or now Brian Howard or someone else, Niall Scully, and you know they get the ball out there, it's very, very hard for 4 or 5 guys to shut that down. So I think any team, and it is one of the hardest things to do in terms of the levels of communication you need to spend a lot of time working on it, but any team that's getting that are up against an opposition who are trying to kill the game, everyone's going to have to press up at a certain time. Now, there's obviously a risk that's associated with that, but that's where, again, good coaching comes in, good understanding from the players of what's needed in a certain situation.
Who do you think are the best team equipped to be able to execute that, to be able essentially to beat the Dubs?
This weekend will probably tell a lot in terms of, I'd imagine from what I've seen all year, I think Galway are probably the best equipped team out there in terms of the fact that they're not as possibly one dimensional as some of the other teams. You look at some of the other teams, they'd like to play that counter attack style. I don't know that Dublin are going to get beaten by a team that's playing a counter attack style. So for me, it has to be a team that's willing to go at Dublin a little bit more. Possibly a Galway or a Kerry. I like the fact that Galway can mix it up a little bit. They've got Comer inside, who's obviously someone you can play long direct ball into, and then they've got the running game between obviously Shane Walsh and Brannigan and these guys. So I think the ability they have, and they're solid defensively, they have a strong midfield, so they have a lot of things going for them. They've obviously shown in the league this year that they're a very, very good team, and they've continued that into the Championship. So I think there's huge challenges coming for Dublin. I know the Kerry party there probably dismissed the semi-final coming up, but I think Dublin are going to have a big challenge in the semi-final, whoever comes out of that side. And you've seen the road Monaghan have taken through it as well. Monaghan were the only team to beat, Dublin in the league in Croke Park this year as well. So Monaghan will come, if it is Monaghan, Kerry, you know, I think whatever way it comes out this weekend, I think we're going to be set up for a couple of really big games.
The thing is, if Monaghan do get through, and like just being devil's advocate to that point, you look at the big games Dublin have been given in Championship after their last Championship defeat in 2014, and it would mean Kerry and Mayo are both out. The two teams that have been able to put them to the pin of their collar are out. And like, Monaghan have done that to Dublin in the league in previous years, and obviously we saw what happened to them in the Championship last year. Like, you do wonder, with Kerry and Mayo absent from the Championship in the last 4, Is there enough wherewithal in the remaining three teams to actually give Dublin a really good game? And I'm talking Kerry 2016, Mayo last year, Mayo in 2016, obviously over both games, like the real intensity. Because I do feel, and maybe it's just being very cynical, I do feel that there was an element about Dublin against Tyrone and Donegal where they could have gone to a much higher pitch if they needed to.
Yeah, and it's the big question that's left this year, and it is, and I think that was one of the things, like Mayo have obviously proven in the last couple of years they've been a fraction away from getting over that, and I think there's, whether it's a historical element, that Kerry always bring that in terms of, and from a mental point of view, you kind of, you get the impression that, and maybe Dara's comment or his article today where he's saying about it, you know, would you be surprised if, like, there's an element to me that wouldn't be surprised if Kerry didn't make the semi-final. But then there's also another element to me. If Kerry did make a semi-final and come up and shot the lights out against Dublin, you know, you'd look at their team and maybe they're built to play in Croke Park in terms of, and again, even the talk of this Kerry team about how the young guys are doing, how the young guys are doing, for me, the young guys are delivering. They're not the issue at the moment. You know, there's probably a couple of other guys that need to step up. Maybe some of those middle-aged guys in terms of the kind of mid-20s, late-20s, maybe they're the guys that need to step up and give a bit of backup to the, you know, to O'Shea and White and Clifford and these guys who've been excellent to date, you know. So there's an element of that with Kerry to kind of, can they get through this weekend in terms of the results go their way and they do what they need to do against Kildare? And if they can, you know, Fitzmaurice would be coming into that, if they did come into a semi-final against Dublin, looking at it saying, well, this is, you'd imagine what they've been working towards for the last 6, 7, 8 months. You know, Kerry are the type of team who look at the bigger picture. They're not looking at next week. Monaghan have probably had to go through this championship on a, well, let's get to next week. And obviously this week is no different. They have to get through Salt Hill to have any chance of having it, you know. So they'll have a 6-day turnaround. It'll be a much bigger challenge for Monaghan, I think, going in against, if they did go in against Dublin, because it'll be very much, they will be on a bit of a roll, they'd have momentum with them, but in terms of their preparation, in terms of for the specific challenge of Dublin, whereas I'd imagine a lot of the work Kerry have done throughout the year have kind of been with this in mind.
Yeah, it does feel sometimes that we read too much into the likes of 2009 when it comes to this supposed great Kerry performance that's going to come if they get to come up against Dublin, that, you know, they can do it when it matters, like coming back through the qualifiers after defeats to Cork down through the years and stuff. It's a very different Kerry team, like the likes of Dara there. I mean, the real sense of a game that will never pass him by when it really matters, sort of thing. And you mentioned some of the big lads that haven't stepped up in recent weeks. Granted, that's a good situation to be in if the young lads are actually performing well, but ultimately there's a bit of hope there that isn't based in a whole pile of form that we've seen over the last two seasons.
No, not only is it a different Kerry team, it's a very different Dublin team.
Sure.
This Dublin team is a far superior team to the 2009 team, you know, and it was... And again, it's just the levels Dublin have got in the last couple of years, and they're an incredibly well-coached team. You look at the way Dublin, again, you can talk about different playing against different styles and how comfortable they are, and it has taken them a little bit of time. They've learned from playing against teams, and that's what I mean, for a certain time they would have found it a bigger challenge playing against teams to get 14 men and hit them on the counter-attack. Now it feels like, I don't know that it's going to take... something unique for a team to play like that and beat Dublin, I think, at the moment. I think Dublin are so controlled in those environments. They're good on the ball. They make good decisions on it. They don't leave themselves too exposed at the back. If they do, it's a kind of a split-second window. It's not a case of where they're getting caught 4 and 5 times a half, you know. So I think this Dublin team is probably different. So I think any team that you kind of need to be willing to come out and go toe-to-toe with Dublin for a certain extent. I don't know that you can play that kind of counter-attack game against them.
It is. It's huge testaments to Jim Gavin, the way they've evolved. Not even, like, we talked about comparisons with 09 there. That's almost a decade at this point. But even if you compare it to the 2013 team or 2015 to a certain extent, I know the final didn't really represent the way that Dublin team played because of the conditions that day. But the way they've altered their style, the way they've had to just hold on to the ball when they need to, is very different to the swashbuckling style we've seen in 2013. And it's incredible when a lot of the personnel is the same and the manager is the same.
It is. And again, it goes back to the coaching and to the level of detail they go into. And they're continuously trying to evolve. They've won the last couple of All-Irelands, but they're not sitting there saying, well, what we're doing is enough. It's not good enough. In terms of, if they keep doing the same thing, they're going to get caught. So they have to keep adding different strings. And obviously they're introducing new players here and there. And you've seen the likes of Brian Howard coming in, and Niall Scully, they've added a lot to the group. On Merchant this year has now come in, and again, outside of Dublin, he probably wouldn't have been well known. And the management have probably taken not a chance on him, but they've obviously put their faith in him, and it's been rewarded. And again, that comes down to the management not saying, well, look, let's sit and say, well, look, these guys delivered for us last year, let's keep going with the same thing. And so when you're analysing Dublin now, you're looking at the Dublin team and you're saying, well, hang on, what are these new guys doing? How do we look to counteract that? And it just makes them continuously harder to kind of go up against.
Yeah, definitely. One of the teams they might be playing before the end of the summer is Galway, and I'm delighted to introduce Paul Conroy, the midfielder, to the show this morning. Good morning to you, Paul.
How are you doing, boys? Good morning, Chief. How are you getting on?
Very well, thanks. So we wanted to chat to you, obviously, about the injury. It's almost 3 weeks since that clash with Kerry in Croke Park. I presume you're well underway in terms of rehab, in terms of recovery. You've almost settled into a pattern where you can start to move forward a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just over 2 weeks now post-op. So kind of getting used to the pain a small bit. And it's, in fairness, it's gone down a fair bit since the first week. So yeah, like, you know, I've started exercises with the physio and seen the doctor a couple of times, and, you know, I've been back in around the Galway camp and stuff like that, which is, you know, which is great to get back in as well. Been talking to a couple of players as well, who, you know, footballers and soccer players as well, who've had a similar injury as well before. So I was just on to Shamey Coleman there yesterday, who gave me a shout. So it was nice to hear from him, and he had a very very similar injury to myself. So just getting a couple of tips off them boys, which is great.
What did Shamey say?
He just kind of was just saying that, you know, he had a very positive mindset straight away. And he found that, you know, he found that made an awful big difference. You know, a lot of people were kind of saying to him that, you know, that he mightn't be ever the same again or as good as he was. But he kind of used that as motivation to help him come back and stuff like that. So I think he was saying to me that he trained with the first team in Everton 6 months after the injury there, which happened obviously against Wales in March. So, you know, it was great to hear from someone like that, and it definitely would, you know, it gives you that bit of motivation to, you know, to try and get back possibly earlier than expected. Or, you know, it mightn't work out like that, but, you know, it was good to hear from someone like that.
Yeah, absolutely, fair play to him. So just talk to us about the specifics of the injury. It's a fracture on the tibia and fibula on the left, and then there's a hairline fracture on the fibula on the right leg, but you're able to stand on the right leg?
Yeah, exactly. So I suppose I didn't kind of half do it, so I didn't do it properly what I was going to do it. But yeah, so the right leg isn't overly bad. I can hop around on crutches and things like that, just as long as I can tolerate it myself, you know. So if it's getting obviously too sore, you know, it's time to get off the crutches. But that's just a hairline fracture on the fibula. It feels almost like bad bruising, but, you know, when they x-rayed it, there was actually a hairline fracture there. So, you know, as I said, the right leg is, you know, it is obviously broke, but it's not half as bad as the left. The left was the leg I got the surgery on, and there was surgery given to my tibia. There was a nail put down the middle of it there. Sounds lovely. And the fibula as well, it's just left to recover itself. But you know, I'm not in a cast or anything like that. And when I'm heading out, I have a boot there that I can put on, and that protects me. So it's not too bad in that sense.
Yeah, because I can imagine what you must have thought when the prognosis comes through that you've broke both legs. I mean, it's incredibly rare. Like, immediately you're probably thinking about your immediate mobility, but having that, even a small kind of consolation of being able to hop around on crutches is surely a big difference.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Like, I mean, when they say it to you first, like, it's, you know, it's more mentally challenging. Obviously, the pain is there and stuff like that, but you can take things to get rid of the pain or whatever, but mentally challenging, you kind of have to just accept it. So that was, I was in the Mater Hospital there for a couple of days. In fairness, they took great care of me in there. And it's just around the corner to Croke Park as well, which is ideal.
I found it interesting, just already you're talking about the mental challenge of it, Paul. And it's interesting, even something Shamey said to you yesterday, that you'd be 6 months, he was back on the pitch within 6 months. And already you can see your mindset's, obviously the first few days you're kind of dealing with the issue of, in terms of the pain and just getting through the first few days, but you've already kind of a bit of a mindset in terms of looking forward towards how you're going to get back playing and back physically fit in terms of from a football perspective.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, I think, you know, there's no point obviously feeling sorry for yourself. Like, the first couple of days, as I said, they're tough, and I suppose they're the days that you kind of just have to mentally accept it. And you know, after that, like, you're looking straight away, you're looking at what can I do, what can I move, what other parts of my body can I do a bit of exercise with. You know, I suppose a danger in these injuries is that the muscles around the injury, I'm sure you know yourself, Mossy, from playing, the muscles around the injury kind of, you know, they become very soft and they become very inactive, and, you know, that's a danger itself. So it's important to kind of keep at the other exercise, so whether it be moving the ankle or the quad or the knee or the glutes, you know. So that's the kind of stuff I'm at the minute. And you know, it's grand. Like, that's the only kind of stuff you can control, really. So, you know, I don't really have any other choice.
Paul, what's your recollection of the incident itself? Like, I'm sure the pain is just excruciating at that point, so you can't recall a whole pile and it's fairly blurry, but of what you can remember, what's your picture of what happened?
Yeah, I just remember it was, if you remember the day, it was very wet and very skiddy in Croke Park. So I just remember a ball coming across from the sideline, and it was kind of a 50-50 ball. And I suppose the way the weather was, you know, if it was a dry day, I wouldn't have slid in. And I suppose Sean O'Shea probably wouldn't have slid in the way the two of us did. We just kind of slid in with our legs sort of in front of us, and his knees hit my shins, you know. But it very easily could have been sort of my knees hitting his shins, you know. It was just unlucky for me, I suppose, and lucky for him. And then, you know, I just looked down then, and I kind of seen a lump sort of sticking out somewhere where it shouldn't have been. And I said to myself, okay, I'm in trouble here. I better stay down and not try and get up. So, you know, the medical team were on then straight away and stuff. So, you know, in fairness, they get moving fairly quickly when an incident like that happens.
Yeah, like obviously when you see that, you know, you're in big trouble. But what are you feeling at the time? Like, is there an excruciating pain above anything else you felt that suggests that this is a horrendous injury you've just sustained?
Yeah, a lot of people have asked me that. To be honest, I don't really kind of remember it being really, really, really sore. I think the body just sort of goes into shock. Like, it was obviously sore at the time, but I think it's just trying to take your mind off it, you know. And I had a couple of people come over to me, and they were just kind of chatting away to me at the time, and they were like, just breathe and breathe. And they gave me I'm not sure what the name is there, but it's kind of a green whistle you start to blow into, and I think that takes away a good bit of the pain and stuff like that. So I'm sure it was very, very sore, but I think the body sort of just goes into shock, and I don't know, does it go into kind of protective mode or something like that? Because you know, as I said, I don't remember an excruciating pain, but I'm sure it was there.
It's probably one of those fortunate things. You never want something like that to happen to you, but if it does happen, you want it to happen in Croke Park, where, like that, you see you're getting carried off on the motorised cart, and you're 2 minutes from the Mater Hospital, and you're getting the best of treatment rather than being stuck at one of the provincial venues, possibly where you're on the pitch a bit longer and it's harder to get in and out. So I suppose if there's one positive to take from it, from where it happened, that would definitely be one of them.
Yeah, definitely. I think it happened in like the 20th minute. And I had my phone with me, so I actually watched the second half in the A&E department on the RTE player on the phone, so that kept my mind occupied for a while. Funnily enough, you said that, actually one of our players, Fintan O'Curran, this happened to him late last year, and it happened to him in a championship relegation game, you know, in a bad wet day out in Connemara, you know. So I think he was a lot longer lying on a pitch. Yeah. You know, waiting to be looked after and to wait for an ambulance to come. Whereas, in fairness, I was lucky. I was in and out and gone in the Mater Hospital in 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, that is certainly one of the positives you could have come on to from that situation. Like, you mentioned the mentality here and the mental process of recovering from this, and the advice that Seamus Coleman gave you. I presume the fact that Galway are still in the championship is helping with that a little bit. I presume you're in and out chatting to the lads, and you're kind of even just hanging around training maybe, or having conversations with Kevin Walsh, that kind of keeps you mentally fresh and keeps you ticking over a little bit. It sort of feels like you're still involved. It's not too detrimental.
Yeah, definitely. You know, a lot of people were kind of saying, is it harder because you're in the championship, or, you know, would it be easier if you're knocked out? No, definitely not. It's great being still in the championship. You know, as went in back training there last Saturday for the first time, and now I wasn't training. I was just in with the physio and stuff like that. But oh, it's great. Like, you know, it's great to see the lads. It's great to be looking forward to an All-Ireland semi-final. You know, obviously the Monaghan game this weekend comes first, but no, it's a great buzz around. You know, and you can kind of help the lads in maybe doing a bit of video analysis, or doing, you know, helping them in a different way than before. Like, and it's great. Kevin's great. You know, he's always on to me, and he's always keen to get me involved in different ways and stuff like that. So, you know, that gives you encouragement as well. Like, you know, instead of just being left aside, if you get me, that's, you know, that's not the way it's been at all.
Is that something that's been a feature of Kevin Walsh's time in charge, that the players are very much called upon in terms of those video analysis chats anyway, that it's kind of a two-way street? It's not the management team preaching to the players, it's conversations happening.
Yeah, in fairness. And I think that's, you know, I think that's the way forward, really. I think, you know, I suppose it's the players' team, really. Like, you know, and the players have to drive it on, because, you know, once you go across the or onto the pitch, you know, it's the players that are in charge, really, and there's only so much a manager can do. So I think the more that the players take it on and drive things on themselves and take ownership and leadership, then I think, you know, the better the situation you'll be in, and the better prepared you'll be on match day.
How is everything in the camp at the moment? I presume they're flying. I presume they're sky high. Obviously, you mentioned this Sunday. Just because you're true doesn't mean you're going to take the Sunday easily. In fact, avoiding the Dubs is a pretty big carrot. And I'm sure they're going for the win this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I mean, obviously Monaghan are going to come down fighting for their lives. It's do or die for them. But you know what? Something that we've been focusing on all year, and it might sound like, you know, all GA players are probably saying the same thing, but we do generally take one game at a time, and we've only lost one game this year, which has been to Dublin in the league final. You know, and there's no way that we'll be, you know, trying to rest up lads or take it easy this weekend, because you just can't do that in Championship. So you know what, we'll be treating Monaghan with the same way we'd be treating any other game, and you know, the result will take care of itself then. And yes, like, we're in the semi final the week after, but still, you know, it would go against what we've been at all year if, you know, if we were to try and change things up for this weekend, or try and, you know, maybe put out kind of a half a strong team or anything like that. So we'll be treating it with the same way we've been treating all the games.
Yeah, you mentioned the league final there. How much focus was put on that result, and in terms of analysing that game? Because obviously there was a big break then before the Mayo game and the Championship in May. Like, has that been a focus of improvement this year, that one loss has been held up as something that you can look at and work on?
Yeah, like, definitely. I mean, I suppose you'd analyse all the games and areas where you can learn from it, and areas where maybe, you know, you did well and that you're trying to keep doing again. But I suppose that was our first time playing against Dublin, really, in the last couple of years. You know, we haven't been as successful as, you know, to be playing them in the latter ends of the Championship. So, you know, it was a good test for us at a fairly high stage, in fairness. You know, it was great to play them. We played them obviously in Pier Stadium, but it's probably a different test playing them in Croke Park. You know, we did that, and I suppose to the areas of that game we were really disappointed with. I think they went down to 14 men in the second half, and we never really took advantage of that. But no, like, there was definitely a lot of learnings to do from that game, and you know, it was a brilliant test for us. And you kind of see where you're at, really, when you play Dublin and Croke Park. You kind of test yourself and see where you're at as a team.
To what extent would Kevin Walsh and the lads love to get another crack at the Dubs before the end of the summer?
Yeah, look, I'm sure the lads now would love to get another crack at them, you know. So I suppose we just have to keep minding our own corner until that challenge comes. And you know, if we win this weekend, you know, we'll have a different challenge in the semi final. And you know, who knows, we might get a crack at them later on in the summer. And I suppose, please God, if we keep winning and minding our own corner, well, then I suppose Dublin, there's a good chance they'll come through on the other side, and you know, we might see them then later on in the summer.
Yeah, absolutely. Just before I let you go, then, what's next for you on a personal level? I see you're starting a new job in September, although the injury might hamper your involvement there.
Yeah, so I'm supposed to start in a secondary school teacher. So I'm supposed to start in Claregowrie College in September, but that's not going to happen now for a couple of. I suppose it'll be possibly 2 months first, and then seeing how it goes after that. Then. You know, I'm not sure how long it'll be. I suppose you just have to wait to get the confirmation of the surgeon and things like that. But I was talking to the principal and stuff like that, and it is what it is, you know. And there's not much you can do about it. You just have to get on with it. And you know, I'll be trying to recover as best as I can to put myself in the best position to go back working and then back training as well and things like that.
You probably need to be as fit going back into a school as you do onto a pitch. You'll get less sympathy off students than you would off opposition teammates or opposition players. So I'd say you definitely need to be fit going back in there anyway.
Yeah, in fairness, there'll be plenty of slagging now when I come back, and I'm sure a few of them will be showing me the video of where I got injured and things like that. But no, it's all good banter.
Can you do most of your rehab now in Galway, or are you backing over to Santry, say, in Dublin?
No, so I've been transferred to a surgeon in Galway there, Fintan Shannon, but I would have been I got done in the Mater Hospital by Mr. Murphy, his name was, so he transferred me to Fintan Shannon in Galway there, so it's handy. It's only 20 minutes in the road there.
Right, okay. Well, the very best of luck with all the rehab, Paul. I really appreciate you coming on the show this morning, and best of luck to Galway at the weekend.
Yeah, thanks for many, boys.
Paul Conroy there. Great words there. It's fantastic to hear Seamus Coleman was in touch with him as well. It's almost like, well, we all know at this point that the mental battle that you face when you face these long-term injuries is almost the hardest part once that first excruciating first couple of weeks is gone. And I'm sure Seamus appreciates what the journey he has in front of him. So it's great to hear that he's getting in touch with him.
It is. It's brilliant. And again, that was one of the things I remember from was it one of the documentaries, or it could have been Paul O'Connell's book. But I remember there was a vision of him when he pulled his hamstring off the bone and he's on the ground. He's punching the ground. And he was asked after, was it the pain? He said it was nothing to do with the pain. It was the realization that I wasn't going to play for the rest of the year. And he said I was done. And he says that was the that was what the real pain was. It was the mental anguish of knowing my leg is not going to work, you know, for me to be able to perform. So, and I think that's similar to what Paul, like the physical pain lasts on the pitch, and he's obviously kind of can be dealt with over the you know, coming hours and days. But in terms of what you're facing into and the road ahead is obviously the biggest one. And sports people, you know, in terms of they rally around each other brilliantly, and it is brilliant to hear. Like, it's kind of testament to Seamus' character that he took his time out to kind of get in contact with him, and hopefully Paul makes a full recovery similar to Seamus.
Yeah, definitely. Did you experience any injuries like that?
Thankfully not to that extent, no. I fractured my metatarsal at the time. I had to get a screw put into my foot, all right, but that was certainly wasn't at the same level as that. And it was in a, I actually did it, we were training in the winter of, I think it was 2010, and it was snow and we couldn't get any pitches, so we were training on Dollymount Beach, and whatever way, I stood into a groove of someone's foot, and my foot kind of just did that, and I broke my metatarsal. But it was a January to May, I was back in time for championship, but it was again just up, get a screw put into it, and I think when it was in the warm up as well, and when I was hobbling out, I think a lot of the lads were like, he just doesn't want to do this session here this morning. It was a gale blowing and it was like a sandstorm, but I arrived down the boot a few days later and they were like, oh, okay, fair enough. So
yeah, I'm sure Paul Conroy is looking ahead to next summer with Lee at the moment. He should be back by then, and it's great to see the recovery is well underway. It is, of course, Salt Hill this weekend, Galway against Monaghan. As we kind of established there, Galway are clearly going for the win on Sunday. Will they get the win?
Yeah, I think they will. I think the level they've been performing at, and if they bring that, it's a mental challenge for Galway this weekend, in the sense that they know that they've likely have a semi final coming up. So, but they need to kind of take care of their own business. So it's just to try not let their minds drift and say, well, hang on, you know, do we have a game in 6 days? At the moment, they don't have a game in 6 days. They need to make sure they go in and perform. And they've been very good at that this year. And again, Paul Conroy said it is one game at a time, you know, and I think teams genuinely do buy into that. And it can be frustrating for people watching and listening, kind of saying, yeah, but you don't really. But teams actually, when they're in that mindset, that's where they get their best performances. And Galway seem to be delivering on that. You've seen that to proof this year in terms of the results. So, based on that, I think they will get what they need against Monaghan.
Yeah, Dara was saying there this morning that Monaghan shouldn't expect to have the same amount of joy out of Conor McManus or even Rory Beggan this weekend, and that when you look around, he's still beating him with the old stick, that the rest of the supporting cast aren't good enough to win a game like this. I'm not sure, is that a bit harsh on the likes of Jack McCarron and Conor McCarthy?
Yeah, it probably is a little bit harsh. Like, this is a very, I think it is a good Monaghan team. I don't think that, like, I think they probably have a little bit more in them as well. But I don't think it's a negative that it's very hard for everyone to get to the level of Conor McManus, sure. You know, and even the performances of Rory Beggan has produced so far this championship. So they do have, Carl O'Connell's been excellent, Conor McCarthy's been excellent. They've had some really good performances. You know, Vinnie Curry's been very solid as well. The Wiley's in the full back line. So they do have quality throughout that Monaghan team. They've probably added a little bit of strength and depth through the qualifiers, in the sense that they've tried different guys in different games, and people have come in and produced performances as well. So it is a big step up, I think, going in against Galway this weekend. But I don't think it's fair to kind of write Monaghan off. I think are the supporting cast good enough is probably going to be found out this weekend.
Yeah, well, it is a 6 o'clock throw-in in both those games in Group 1 of the Super 8s this Saturday. They're in Salt Hill and they're in Killarney. The other two games then, 3:30 on Sunday, Ballybuffet and Croke Park, the venues.
So, if you like this, you'll probably also like OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show. Subscribe to the OTB AM podcast stream or catch the show live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook or offtheball.com every morning from 7:45 AM.